And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience, our DDD, Devotional Diamond of the Day. Say my name. Say my name. That could be a song. Also, none of any sort. That sounds like it's almost British. We're going to have the professor of retirement, our own Marty Schneider. He's going to be joining us live in today's Facebook post, The Bible Self-Help Program.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Do you really want to hear personal revelations? Sometimes I wonder. Unless they're embarrassing, then that's kind of funny. Like when I had the hot wings and I put my finger on the wings, and then I sneezed and I put my finger up by my nose and it actually went into my eye, and then I couldn't see for a couple hours. That's kind of funny. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oh no, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473, 866-K-PRAISE. Any topic is, of course, technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio, it's never been professional radio, and it never will be professional radio, as evidenced by this introduction. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience, here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station, here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back, but stand by.
More local, national, and heavenly talk on the David Spoon Experience, AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
From Washington, D.C., it's the Cal Thomas Commentary. And now, here is America's number one syndicated columnist, Cal Thomas.
Another day, another terrorist attack, this one in London, 7 dead, 45 wounded. The response, like all the others, thoughts and prayers, flowers, meaningless platitudes, calls for a tougher response with few specifics, reactive, not proactive. One of the killers was known to authorities and had twice been reported to police for his extremist views. Things are proceeding just as the jihadi invaders planned. They know Westerners don't want to be called bigots, so they flood the zone, build their mosque, and refuse to assimilate. They're a clear and present danger to our way of life. The West has already let too many of them in. It is meaningless to say a majority of Muslims are peaceful. How do you know? This is self-delusion. Even if a majority are peaceful, does that matter to those killed and wounded? Clearly, our approach in the UK and US is not enough. We must decide whether we want to continue on this ineffective path or fight this scourge as the war it is. Our enemy is at war with us. If we're not at war with them, they win. I'm Cal Thomas in Washington.
For a free copy of today's commentary and other information, visit calthomas.com or send a written request mentioning the date and subject to Values Through Media, Post Office Box 7065, Arlington, Virginia, 22207. Tax-deductible gifts support these commentaries and are appreciated. Listen again next time for the Cal Thomas Commentary.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Where apparently they keep trying to convert this studio into a studio of conservative talk. I don't know. That's all I got for you. A couple
it's just
things.
A banner.
It's... You know, I hear you say it's just a banner, but it reminds me of this. It's when somebody, it's just a banner when they, like, pull out a really nasty banner. Now, this is not a nasty banner, I will say, but a nasty banner, like some of those protests, and then you're, like, going, that's not very nice.
Like, see, when a Dodger fan has a sign in Petco Park.
Do they do that? Do Dodger fans bring banners out to Petco Park?
Yeah.
Well, why do they do that? And then the Padre fans, what do they do?
We try to take them away.
Physically? You try to, why don't you just beat
sometimes.
Why don't you just beat their team?
That's harder to do.
Oh, I see. I see. Because if you do, oh, not beat their, but I mean win the game. I mean, that came out wrong. I'm just saying, I mean, the best way to, you know, humiliate that banner is for them to put up 10 extra runs.
It was nice when I was there about a week ago, and it was about 80%, 85% Cub fans in Petco Park with all their gear and their signs and stuff, and we got a grand slam and won the game.
Wasn't that the big broom thing? The sweep?
Yeah, we swept them.
Okay, just checking. All right. See, the Padres have, what place are they in?
Well, we're second to last in the NL West, but we did have a 5-game winning streak.
That is good. No, that is good. 5-game winning streak is good. And you can tell you're a struggling team when you're like going, we're second to last. You know, it's like, that's exciting.
Why? Yeah.
Because we're not last. All right. I don't have any room to say I'm having a terrible sports year. I even thought about renaming my dog after the Red Wings didn't make, because my dog's name is Levi Red Wing Spoon. That's his legal name. I looked at him. He looked at me. He has no idea what I'm saying when I'm looking at him going, I might have to rename you. He's probably just sitting there thinking, is there a chicken with that? That's all he's thinking. That's pretty much how it goes. Let's get into this next DDD. It's called Say My Name. What do we got for a sound? All right, now before people get upset, there's a real specific reason that I had Tugboat Todd go down that direction, and it's in this text, because I want you to catch something. I'm going to say something that's somewhat controversial, yet this still will not get me on the watch for anything, anybody, anywhere, but this is what I do anyway. Genesis 35:16-18, Jacob and his family left Bethel, and when they were still some distance from Ephrath, the time came for Rachel to have her baby. And she was having a difficult labor. When her labor pains were at their worst, the midwife said to her, "Don't be afraid, Rachel, it's another boy." But she was dying, and as she breathed her last, she named her son Benoni. But his father named him Benjamin. Wow. So Rachel, if you will remember, is Jacob's love, love of his life, and their first baby together was Joseph. Okay, trying to keep everybody in the sink. The second baby is Benjamin. But when Rachel's going through this pregnancy, it's a bad pregnancy. It's not like the systems we have today, which I think everybody can understand. They did not have the medical abilities that we have today. This baby and pregnancy were not going well. At that point, they did not think of save the mother first, which I still don't think they should ever be thinking that. But that's just, you know, that part's probably more opinion than not. But, you know, they went after the baby, made sure the baby was okay. She's in the process of dying. She names her son Benoni. Now, do you want to know why that's important? Because of what that means. Do you know what Benoni means? And some people say it's Benani. Relax. Benoni, Benani. Do you know what that means? It means son of sorrow. All right? That kid was going to go around with a name that meant son of sorrow for his whole life. That is not good. Right? So Jacob steps in and renames him. Here's the most amazing part. He renames him Benjamin, which means son of fortune. So instead of being son of sorrow, which is what the mom wanted to name him as she was dying, Jacob does the rename, and he becomes, instead of son of sorrow, he becomes son of fortune. Here's what I want you to get, and this is where the little controversy comes in. Same child, right? Right, Dave, same child. Different experience for Rachel than for Jacob, right? Rachel's dying. Jacob's not dying. Got that. Different experience. Same child. Different names. Why does that matter? Because if you go through life and your name means son of fortune, or you go through life and your name means son of sorrow, which would be better? Call me a nut. Call me absolutely out of my mind. But having a name that reflects goodness and graciousness and great things happening might be better than having a name that reflects sadness and mirth and disappointment and discouragement. And here's what I'm going to say to you that is going to just not be acceptable on many levels. How we label matters. That's the line. Talk about that. How we label matters, whether it's people, situations, or events. I'm going to show you something really nifty, right? You could have a disaster in front of you, and you will have the label of disaster. What do you think of when you think of the word disaster? You think of Titanic. You think of, terrible. Just start naming terrible things, buildings on fire, earthquakes. You're thinking that, right? But while you're looking at the situation and labeling it a disaster, it could be through that very situation that God is creating some opportunity to bring forth a blessing, and God's label on the situation might be different than your label. If you label it a disaster, but God labels it a blessing because he knows what the end result is going to be, your label is incorrect, ineffective, negative, and not working properly. And to give you an example of what I'm talking about, Saul, before he became the apostle Paul, could have been labeled, and he was, as many believe his name meant, a destroyer. But it's more truthful to say in the end of Paul's life, the Apostle Paul, he was more of a builder than a destroyer. And what Satan intended the person to be is terrible. God intended the person to be terrific. And that's how Paul turned out. All how you label it is how you're defining it. And let me explain something to you. Remember, people say, well, don't use labels, man. You can't use labels, man. Hey, God uses labels. So back that up a little bit. You just got to make sure it's the right label. Not a sinful label. Not a human wisdom label. I mean, it's not appropriate, is it, for non-Christians to call Christians flat earthers because they somehow associate people that believe in the New Testament with the flat earth, even though Isaiah 40, verse 22 says God sits on this circle of the earth? No, it's not appropriate. It's an inappropriate label. Is it inappropriate to name somebody who doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe God exists, an atheist? No, that's what that word means. A means no, theist, God, no God. That's not the same as agnostic. Agnostic means no gnostic knowledge, no knowledge. And the agnostic doesn't know. That's a different label. My point is, labels aren't always bad. Labels are appropriate. Jesus labeled people sheep and goat. And you can't change that. Oh, that Jesus, he labeled people. You bet he did. God labeled people chosen, not chosen. That's how it goes. Here's the point that I'm making. We can hurt or help our perspective by what we label what we see. We can make it worse by giving it the wrong label. It was sad for Rachel. She was dying. But for Jacob, it was fortune. He had another son, and his legacy would go on. And Benjamin, by the way, would be powerful in the 12 tribes. Think about it. He could have gone through his entire life as the son of sorrow or the son of fortune. The son of fortune was the better choice, labeled properly. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back for more. Don't go anywhere.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
I had a situation with my son. Well, he was just not filling out his college applications, and it was driving me nuts. And he says to me, he's like, Mom, You just need to know that the more you talk to me about this, the less I want to do it.
Nagging your child may not get the results you're expecting. Here's Nina Rosner on Focus on the Family Minute.
We had this conversation, and I said, so what's really keeping you from doing that? What's pushing you in the other direction? And it ended up being a conversation about how he was nervous about going to college,
right.
Nervous about what was really going to happen to him, how things were going to be different. And we had the best, most wonderful moment that would not have happened if I had kept nagging and fussing at him, and it would have caused anger and more conflict.
So take the time to really listen to your child and speak with respect and encouragement. You'll hear more parenting insights from Nina at familyminute.org.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
This is John MacArthur welcoming you to Portraits of Grace. God's Word is the imperishable, living, and abiding seed that brings salvation. As a Christian, you have His Word implanted within you. As a result, you must nurture it by removing the weeds of filthiness and wickedness so it can produce the fruit of righteousness. That means you must be committed to a lifestyle of confession, which results from studying and obeying God's Word. That doesn't mean you'll be sinlessly perfect, but an ever-increasing spiritual maturity and obedience to the Word will mark your life. Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine." I pray you'll receive his truth and abide in it continually. This is John MacArthur, hoping you'll join me again for Portraits of Grace.
I am pure Burmese and strong in my own religion. I did not want to hear about Jesus, but Pastor Ruwat came and told me about him.
When Da I Tin first heard about Jesus, her reaction was, "I will never believe your God and change my religion." But Pastor Ruwat continued to visit, sharing God's word and answering her questions. At first, she rejected the message, but after 1 year, her heart softened. And then one day, she clearly knew that what Pastor Ruwat had been telling her about Jesus and salvation was true. Now she is a believer in the living God. We at Whitefields Ministry support pastors so people can hear the gospel.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Every time you say you love me. Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station. Here in San Diego, California. That's right. We always like to give the weather, and we'll skip that today. I do want to let you know, if you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. Don't forget about half-price tuitions. Don't forget about CrazyPriceMall.com. Crazy, you might be thinking, why would you have a website called CrazyPriceMall.com? Why would you have that? And you would think there would be a lot of logical reasons. But in this case, it's just Professor Wise idea that he got that website, created that idea when the economy was really hurting, and he thought to himself, who would build a mall at the worst time of the economy that you can possibly come up with? And that's where he came up with that idea. Now that you know the story of how we got the name CrazyPriceMall.com, you are none the wiser, because it didn't really impute any wisdom to you. Let's make sure we know all the things that are going on. I do want to do a quick review. Oh, you know what? My mic is shorting out. Isn't that fun? That's always fun. I do want to do a quick review, if you don't mind. And again, we did this earlier, the first hour. I want to do it again the second hour, if you don't mind. But just want to go over a list of some of our pending interviews, because they're kind of cool. Okay? Kind of cool. So this one we're working on, we found out we're just working on today. Some people will like some of these people. Some people won't. Not everybody that we interview is fantastic. But this is kind of a cool list that's happening right now. We got Bishop T.D. Jakes, Rick Warren, Dr. Robert Jeffress, Jim Garlow, Mike Gallagher, Larry Elder, David Limbaugh, Jim Daly. That's kind of our list going right now. Plus, as you know, we did ask the audience, you know, should we do that one interview with people that are, you know, not of same mind or whatever. And it's like, it's okay if we do that. We're not overly political on the show, but we're going to, I think the Tugboat Todd and I have feel comfortable enough to do it as long as we can have a civil conversation. So we'll do our best to do that. But if the person starts going on, blah, 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 we have this big thing called cut them out. we don't even, you know, it's not something that you could ever report. Like, it's big news. Dave Spoon cut somebody off. Yeah. If I'm in the grocery store, I cut somebody off. It's like, so? I mean, that's part of my life. I was born and raised in Detroit. Do you people not get that? San Diego, this laid back, you know, church starts at 9-ish. That's what time church starts in San Diego.
I had an Uber driver the other day and the lanes are completely full. And he goes, we'll get in there. And he just starts making his head. He goes, this is called the Jersey squeeze.
That's right. And actually, I will say this, and I won't take too much time, but one time I was in New York and the cab driver, me and a couple of business associates were in the car, and he actually went over, I mean, it was so close to the edge on the service side of the road and just started whizzing by everybody and then just cut right in. I'm positive that's the time we were all making sure got everything right with the Lord, right? Okay, got it. Okay. All right, let's get into this next one. Do we have a sound for the next one? Let's do a sound. We might go a minute late on this. It's called None of Any Sort. Let's go. What do we got?
It's zero, zip, zilch, nada. You give a present and you take it back. It's zero, zip, zilch, nada. If you put a quarter on the railroad track. It's zero, zip, zilch. You want some?
That's great. What a great find you got. How did you get that? Excellent job. None of any sort. Luke chapter 22, verse 49 through 51. Those around Jesus saw what was about to happen and said, Lord, should we strike with our swords? This is when they came to arrest Jesus. And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, no more of this. And he touched the man's ear and healed him. All right. So there in the Islamic faith, there are different factions, much like there is in the Christian faith, but there is a large contingency in the Islamic faith that do believe that violence is an acceptability. And then there's debate over different passages. But when you get into the Christian faith, our Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. That is our core. That's where we come from. And here, in clear demonstration, you see Jesus saying no to any sort of violence, period. While it is true that he flipped over the money changers' tables and drove the animals out of the marketplace because they were doing selling there, there's no indication that he hurt anybody in any capacity. And there is certainly more evidence to Jesus being a person who wins through persuasion and truth, not through any form of violence. So as the disciples are watching what's about to happen to Jesus, Jesus is about to be arrested. And please understand, if you're a disciple, your hopes are about to be dashed because you don't get the resurrection yet. You don't understand. You're about to lose your rabbi, you're about to lose the scenario. It's about to go under. So everything you've just spent the last 3 years doing is about to go bye-bye because you don't get it yet.
So Peter, when it says one of them struck him, it's Peter. Of course it's Peter. Why would that be a surprise to anybody? He strikes the servant Malchus, and he cuts his ear off, which is, first of all, it's two things. One, it's fortunate that it wasn't more serious. And two, it's a pretty good shot, because if you cut somebody's ear off, you know, right there, that's pretty good. Sharp knife, right? What did Jesus say? He said, no more of this. What was the no more of this? His disciple was violent. His disciple, by the way, didn't kill him. He just wounded him. Jesus goes, nope, 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 nope. You know how you got all these weirdo groups that I can't say anything about people that don't have a lot of hair because I don't have a lot of hair. But there are people that are weirdo groups and they don't understand. They're like the KKK type, or they're just super, super bizarre. You know what I'm talking about. And they think violence is a means to an end, and ends justifies the means, which, by the way, is a worldly philosophy, not anything else, and condemned by the Bible in the New Testament. But they're thinking, oh, no, violence is great, violence is great. It's like, no, it's not. It's not okay. And our Lord and Savior said no. Not only did Jesus say no, can we make this statement? He went the other direction and took the wounded man from his disciple and made him whole. He healed him. He touched the man's ear and he healed him. Not only did Jesus not accept the idea that one of his disciples could be violent, Jesus wouldn't let the result of that violence stand. And he healed the guy. Because the key in Christian warfare is not violence, but truth. And we don't win through weapons of warfare that are carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's why it's spiritual warfare. They're arguments being reasoned against with truth. So we operate on a different plane. You can look at Ephesians 6 and know what the armor is and understand how it operates. But the fact of the matter is, in the most simplistic sense, is that we use the Spirit's help, which provides all the fruit of the Spirit and all the functionalities of the Spirit. We use the truth. We use the power of prayer. We use the power of love. We use all the things that we're given as equipment and tools. But none of those are to hurt, but to prevail in proclamation. That's it. Nothing else. So there is no acceptability on Christian violence ever because Jesus said no and then went the other direction and healed the guy. Okay, got it? No more questions. None of any sort. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back. Don't go anywhere. When I was younger, so much
younger than today. Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
When was the last time you stopped to reflect on the beauty of God's creation?
This is Real Family Life with marriage and family expert Dennis Rainey. Today is Tuesday, June 6th.
The last time I stopped to appreciate the beauty of God's creation was the last big thunderstorm that we had. It was just so powerful, and I'm always so aware of the magnificence and awe of God. Nothing else can shelter you at that point but God.
For me, one of the most awe-inspiring aspects of nature is the night sky. I'll never forget one night when all of the children were still at home, and we went out on top of our roof and caught a meteor shower. There we were, lying on our backs on top of our roof at 2 a.m., just enjoying the summer night, counting meteorites in the northwest corner of the sky. What a great memory. Psalm 147:4 says that the Lord counts the number of stars, and he calls them all by name. But I want you to listen carefully to the verse right before. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. One final thought. Isn't it good to know that the same powerful God that slung the galaxies effortlessly into space, that he, the God of all creation, cares about us, and that he cares about each of our sorrows? Why don't you take a moment today and thank him as a family? I'm Dennis Rainey, and that's Real Family Life.
Life is full of bittersweet transitions. It's difficult to know how these changes will impact us over time. For some people, difficult transitions like retirement, divorce, or loss of a loved one can hit harder than expected and may contribute to feelings of hopelessness or even thoughts of suicide. The risk of suicide is even higher for men over 50 who served our country. Guys like me. That's why support from friends and family makes such a big difference. Every day, your actions could help save a life. Together, we got this. Learn how you can help save a life at VeteransCrisisLine.net.
I had a situation with my son. Well, he was just not filling out his college applications, and it was driving me nuts. And he says to me, he's like, "Mom, you just need to know that the more you talk to me about this, the less I want to do it."
Nagging your child may not get the results you're expecting. Here's Nina Rosner on Focus on the Family Minute.
We had this conversation, and I said, "So what's really keeping you from doing that? What's pushing you in the other direction?" And it ended up being a conversation about how he was nervous about going to college,
right.
Nervous about what was really going to happen to him, how things were going to be different. And we had the best, most wonderful moment that would not have happened if I had kept nagging and fussing at him, and it would have caused anger and more conflict.
So take the time to really listen to your child and speak with respect and encouragement. You'll hear more parenting insights from Nina at FamilyMinute.org.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
All day long if I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work hard.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Yes, I want to let you know, from the dawn of time, wisdom has come forth from a select few. And right now, in our time, during our show, we have the privilege to have such a one with wondrous insights and sage advice, with knowledge that will make you brighter. Ladies and gents, it's Marty Schneider.
You have to like that.
Marty, you have to love that, don't you?
Yeah, you know what, David? I didn't hear you. Could you do it one more time?
That's a good one. Folks, you want to reach Marty, 1-800-727-PLAN, 1-800-727-7526, theretirementprofessor.com. Marty, what's the latest?
Well, don't think I didn't appreciate a little Fiddler on the Roof there. Was that Zero Mostel jamming on If I Were a Rich Man?
It was the best of the best, Marty.
Gosh, that's good stuff. My mother used to watch that movie, David, and cry and weep when they would do, you know, "Is this the little boy I carried?" That one.
Oh, yeah. Love that.
Yeah.
Love that.
Great memories.
Yep. Sunrise, sunset. Oh, it's great stuff. All right. Talk to me. What's going on in this absolutely normal, non-bizarre, nothing ever happens, that's really weird world? What's happening?
Well, let's see. You know, kind of a quiet the last couple of days. It's been kind of quiet. I think, you know, from a economy and market standpoint, everybody's kind of holding their breath to see the two big things that are going down this week, David. One would be the former FBI director Comey testifying Thursday. That, you know, that's got investors kind of, you know, in a wait and hold, see in case there's any dramatic kind of testimony that would rock things up. And then, of course, you got the big election coming down in UK, and with the recent terror events there, there's, you know, at one point it was kind of thought that the existing the current Prime Minister May was kind of a shoe-in, but there's some nervousness around that now with the recent events. So I think the market is just kind of holding its breath and seeing how those two big things shake out this week, and investors kind of unwilling to put a big you know, play on the table right now. So that's the big news from the market standpoint.
All right, let me ask you, I got like three or four questions that this will kind of direct us for this segment. Number one, isn't there supposed to have been some kind of big tax reform release, something? Wasn't something else supposed to happen, or did that not happen, or did it happen and nobody saw it?
Yeah, it did not happen. But you're right. Yeah, the, you know, that was once they got past the whole healthcare issue, the repeal and replace, which didn't happen, then they were going to focus on tax reform. And now, again, you know, they can't seem to agree. The Republican legislators can't put a deal together in terms of agreeing amongst themselves. So just sort of like they did with the healthcare issue, now they're doing the same thing with the tax issue. And they, at this point, we don't have a solid tax proposal. And again, it's another one of those big agenda items, David, that at least at this point so far has not been able to come through. So that doesn't help the mood of the investment community at all. It makes everybody a little bit nervous and just wondering, you know, if this administration can get done the things that it has kind of committed to doing. So no good news there yet.
All right. And see, to me, because I enjoy when we talk into the financial and I enjoy some of the political, but I always take that step back. The reason I think they passed Obamacare was because none of the Democrats knew what was in it, and that was the way they passed it. So right. Nobody knew. We passed it. Okay, well, we passed something. I don't know what it was. And this one, everybody's looking at it, and so everybody's going, now, wait a minute. So the Democrats made it very clear for the Republicans how to do something. Pass it. Don't tell anybody what's in it. Get it through, and then you can fight about it later or something like that, because it seems like that's the only way something gets done is if nobody knows what it is.
Yeah, that's a good model. The problem is the Republicans keep arguing, you know, amongst themselves, and that's really what kind of, you know, threw the cold water on the replace and repeal thing. Although I keep, you know, hearing whispers about, you know, they've got the next plan in place and that they think they can get, you know, the support they need to get that job done. But it's the same story with the tax reform. You know, there's all sorts of sniping going on within the party. And so, you know, it's kind of just hits the wall and then it loses momentum. And then all of a sudden the headlines go to, you know, the next item like the terrorist attacks. And of course, that's a horrible tragedy. And so it's just sort of the, you know, the current events, the news of the moment grabs the headlines and everything else seems to get tossed under the back burner.
Yeah, let me ask you this about former FBI Director Comey, because I had this quiz question on the side of my notes. I was just curious. And Marty, you don't have to worry when I do this, okay? I'm just going to do my best for you, okay? But just follow along, okay?
Okay.
FBI Director in 2006 was... FBI Director in 1997 was... FBI Director in 1985 was... FBI Director in 1967 was... See, now how come you don't know those answers?
Edgar Hoover, one of them.
Yes, I think that was later, but earlier. But here's the point. The problem is this event, and I just can't stand this. I don't like this about the financial realm. Is this event with Comey going to impact the market?
You know, my best guess is no, because I don't think, David, that there's going to be any, you know, shocking revelations that are going to come out of this thing. You know, if there were some really shocking information that would lead people to conclude that this is really impeachment material, it's so way out of line, then that could have an impact. Because, of course, there you're talking about instability again right at the top of the, you know, of our government's leadership. And so it would have to be some very, very dramatic testimony that would lead people to conclude that, you know, that's the direction this would have to go now. So I don't anticipate that to happen, and therefore I don't think it's going to have an awful lot of impact on the financial markets.
I think when you look at that and you think that the potential for it to do, you know, something dramatic or not dramatic, it makes me think that regardless, you know, Wall Street kind of knows it's not going to have that impact, but the theater is somehow so much fun for some people, you know, in some of these realms, they just wanted to keep going and going, and it's like you're just like, really. Who cares? It's like it's so bizarre. It's almost like weird at this point.
It is, and we seem to focus, you know, so much on the minutia of these events when there's so many, you know, impactful, you know, decisions that we need to be addressing and making and facing as a country, and you know, we tend to focus on these kind of, you know, hotline stories that the media, frankly, just builds up into kind of a firestorm, and then everybody's attention is ratcheted on it. And I think to a large degree, don't you think, David, that this is so, you know, it's media driven and it, you know, it's headlines driven and it sells newspapers and, you know, and stories and blogs, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, no, and I got to say, I mean, there was many years before Bill O'Reilly went off the air about three years ago, he did a segment. He's like, oh, the media doesn't have that much impact. And it's like, it was such an absurd statement because I think that they create a lot of the positive, negative, da 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 da. And the problem there is that now headlines don't mean anything because you can't have any confidence in any kind of neutrality. I mean, there's nothing that you look at with confidence. So it seems to me like that's the time where you take planning and making preparations and making decisions into your own hands, as opposed to waiting for some theater to manifest in Washington/New York/LA. I mean, isn't that the way to do that?
Yes, sir. Amen to that. Because, you know, there's always going to be the next piece of theater, you know, that the media is going to drum up. And so that's just sort of never ending. You're right, David. And if we wait for that to end, you know, we'll never get anything done. So I think you take the world as it is. You take your current situation. You do the smart things. You apply biblical principles to your stewardship and your decision making in your household finances. You reduce your lifestyle. You endeavor to get out of debt as quickly as you possibly can using the resources you have. And after you've done that, then you're freed up to start to do some saving and accumulation and become less vulnerable to, you know, to all of those headlines, whether they're real or so-called fake news or real news. You know, you just become less vulnerable to everything out there when you are in a solid position personally. And so that's just a great piece of advice that you gave and great wisdom, I think.
Well, every once in a blue moon, Marty, as my mom said, twice a day, a broken clock still around. Okay, no, she never said that. Everybody says that. Actually, I'll tell you what. One guy that was in a sales department said, even a blind squirrel finds a nut now and then. Now, that line was a good line. I thought that was a good one. Let me give you a prophecy, and then I'll give people the information to get in touch with you so they can start taking charge of their own lives and not let the headlines and the drama drive everything. Here's the prophecy. When Director Comey testifies, there's going to be a whole bunch of people that say, indict Trump. He's worthy to be, you know, indicted. And a whole bunch of other people are going, this is nothing. And a whole bunch of other people like me are going to go, is the premium going up? I only want to know, is the premium going up? And that's what you're going to have. You're going to have the majority of people doing just what I'm saying right there. If you want to take charge of your life, get in touch with Marty so that you can know how to set the plan up. He's helped my wife and I immensely. His number, pretty forward, 800-727-PLAN, 800-727-7526, theretirementprofessor.com. Thank you, Marty.
Thank you, David. God bless you, brother. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
You got it. You too. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Taking a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of White Fields Ministry. Since 1953, White Fields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to White Fields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. You want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. I could use a little family prayer. No big deal. My first grandchild, my Addie Bug, Adeline Joy. Anyway, she got sick last night and had a little bit of a fever. Nothing serious or anything. She's doing a little better today. But because of that, Mommy and Daddy were not able to go to the doctor to get the revelation of the new baby as to what it is, whether it is a boy or a girl. So we are on pause. Grandpa's on pause. Waiting to find out. So, you know, I just, you know, of course, you feel for the kids and you feel for Addie Bug and so on and so forth. She'll be fine. I mean, it's not that big a deal. But, you know, really, Grandpa needs help because he's the one who's trying to figure out, well, okay, now I've got a granddaughter and a grandson. So, you know, what's next? So now we're going to really find out. So now there's a lot of betting going on. Not real betting because nobody has any money in my family. But, you know, that kind of fake betting. I bet you $60 billion that, you know, that stuff. So everybody's got an opinion. Any opinion? Talk about Taz? Probably just, I mean, see, look, it's one of two.
Girl.
Okay. Wow. Standing firm with the girl. All right. We've got, I don't know if we're not going to do a sound of this one because our time is short because I talk a lot. I feel so sad for my wife sometimes. My house is like the radio show. I feel bad for Tugboat Todd sometimes. Anyway, not too often, though. He gets paid for it. Here we go. The title of this one's called The Bible Self-Help Program. I love this one. The Bible Self-Help Program. So if you are aware, we've talked about this in the past, there are a multitude of self-help programs all over, right? It's a multi-billion dollar industry, probably even closer to a trillion, to be honest. So, you know, I'm okay, you're okay, I'm a jerk, you're a jerk. I mean, all that stuff. And all that's like such rubbish. It's unbelievable. It's like man telling man what man could be, should be, needs to be, was be. It's like, what are you, really? I mean, really. Here's the Bible self-help program. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 through 25, right? It's a three-step program. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. All right, now watch. Here it is. I'm going to show you how to find life right here. Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Here is how you find yourself. Ready? You deny yourself and you take up your cross and you lose your life. That's how you find your life. You're thinking, wait. Those self-help books tell me, look in the mirror and repeat after me. Peas and carrots. By the way, if you go to the mirror and you go right now and you go peas and carrots in the mirror, you will understand what every choir director tells the people to say when they forget the words of the songs. Because those two together, peas and carrots, makes it look like you're singing every song there is on the planet, and then nobody thinks you're missing the words. Anyhow, when you're done with that, come back to reality. See, peas and carrots, that's all you got to remember. The reality is this. We have to deny ourselves. That's completely different than the world system. They tell you, find yourself. Jesus says, die to yourself. Is that a difference? Yeah, how do you receive in the kingdom of God? You give. How do you see in the kingdom of God? You believe. How do you live in the kingdom of God? You die. It's every one of these. I'm telling you. All you have to do is think of Superman and Bizarro World, and you will begin to understand the real applications of Christianity. Everything is the opposite. The way that the Lord's... And so we're supposed to deny ourselves and lose ourselves.
That's how you find yourself. Because the real finding is not you in discovering yourself. The real finding is in you discovering Jesus. And the way you do that is you don't become as important. See, that's the Bible self-help program. That's the only difference that is. And instead of buying a bunch of, look it, I'm for having a good attitude. I'm for having a right approach and standing in faith. I'm for those things. But I'm also for everything first and foremost, biblically. And biblically, we are told that unless the kernel of wheat falls on the ground and dies, it cannot multiply. Neither can you. You can't multiply and do the great things you want to do until you come to the end of you. And that's what we were talking about in the last hour, that that's the real place where the Lord steps in when you're in your weakness point and really demonstrates how powerful he is in your life when you know it's not you, it can only be him, and that's how he likes it. Because it's him. And everything that we have done, we do in partnership with God. There's a psalm that David said, "My goodness extendeth not beyond thee." Old King James, used to love this. "My goodness extendeth not beyond thee." In other words, King David was saying, I have nothing that's good within me, in me, around me, that I don't have, that I have, nothing is good in me that is beyond you or apart from you. Everything that I have that is good is because of you, Lord. And that's the reality of the Christian walk. And why is that? So that we don't glory or try to seek glory in his presence. For in all things, Jesus should have the preeminence. So if you really want to use the Bible self-help program, deny yourself, lose yourself, find your life, find your freedom. Because otherwise it's a pretty intense bondage trying to discover your fleshly self. And the end result of that is a lot of pain. Do it the other way. Because the end result of the other way, the biblical way, a lot of freedom. All right. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 22-hour break, then come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk with you then.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.